Now, I do want to say, because I know some of you biblical scholars out there may take a little umbrage with the fact that God said he was lonely. I believe that as Johnson presented that, he actually was using poetic license, not to say that God was lonely per se, but again, using poetic license just to picture God as coming forth and creating the world and mankind. Greetings, radio friends. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies and also the senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We would like to thank you for joining us today for the first half of Elohim, God, the Creator God. Good morning, saints. Today we're continuing with the names of God, the El names of God. And today we're going to be talking about Elohim. And I'm going to let James Weldon Johnson introduce Elohim to you this morning.
God stepped out on space, and he looked around and said, "I'm lonely. I'll make me a world." And as far as the eye of God could see, darkness covered everything. Blacker than 100 midnights, down in a cypress swamp. Then God smiled, and the light broke, and the darkness rolled up on one side, and the light stood shining on the other, and God said, "That's good." Then God reached out and took the light in his hands, and God rolled the light around in his hands until he made the sun. And he set that sun ablazing in the heavens, and the light that was left from making the sun, God gathered it up in a shining ball and flung it against the darkness, spangling the night with the moon and stars. Then down between the darkness and the light, he hurled the world, and God said, "That's good." And God himself stepped down, and the sun was on his right hand and the moon was on his left. The stars were clustered about his head, and the earth was under his feet, and God walked, and where he trod, his footsteps hollowed the valleys out and bulged the mountains up. And then he stopped and looked and saw that the earth was hot and barren. So God stepped over to the edge of the world, and he spat out the seven seas. He batted his eyes, and the lightnings flashed. He clapped his hands, and the thunders rolled, and the waters above the earth came down, the cooling waters came down. Then the green grass sprouted, and the little red flowers blossomed. The pine tree pointed his finger to the sky, and the oak spread out his arms. The lakes cuddled down in the hollows of the ground, and the rivers ran down to the sea, and God smiled again. And the rainbow appeared and curled itself around his shoulder. Then God raised his arm, and he waved his hand over the sea and over the land, and he said, "Bring forth! Bring forth!" And quicker than God could drop his hand, fishes and fowls and beasts and birds swam. The rivers and the seas roamed the forests and the woods and split the air with their wings. And God said, "That's good." Then God walked around, and God looked around on all that he had made. He looked at his son. He looked at his moon, and he looked at his little stars. He looked on his world with all its living things, and God said, "I'm lonely still." Then God sat down on the side of a hill where he could think. By a deep, wide river, he sat down with his head in his hands. God thought, I'll make me a man. Up from the bed of the river, God scooped the clay, and by the bank of the river, he kneeled him down, and there the great God Almighty, who lit the sun and fixed it in the sky, who flung the stars to the most far corner of the night, who rounded the earth in the middle of his hand, this great God, like a mammy bending over her baby, kneeled down in the dust, toiling over a lump of clay till he shaped it in his own image. Then into it he blew the breath of life. And man became a living soul. Amen. Amen.
I hope that piece was a blessing to you. I always love to listen to James Weldon Johnson and his rendition of Creation. A powerful, powerful introduction. Now, I do want to say, because I know some of you biblical scholars out there may take a little umbrage with the fact that God said he was lonely. I believe that as Johnson presented that, he actually was using poetic license, not to say that God was lonely per se, but again, using poetic license just to picture God as coming forth and creating the world and mankind. So hopefully that was a blessing to you. And he did a wonderful job in introducing Elohim. And as we talk about Elohim, we are talking about the Creator God, Elohim, the Creator God. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever gone to the mechanic and had a problem with your car, and the mechanic was not able to tell you what was wrong with it? And what is even more serious, have you ever gone to the doctor and had a problem, and the doctor was not able to diagnose what your issue was? You know, those can be some frightening times, and usually what they do is that they send you to the specialist, so that if you have a Ford that they can't figure out what's wrong, they'll send you back to the Ford manufacturer. Or if you have a problem that the doctor cannot identify, then they'll send you to the specialist, and they'll run all kind of tests to try to figure out what's wrong with you. I want to let you know today that whatever issues that you might have, whatever you're going through, that all you need to do is go back to Elohim, the Creator God, the one who created us. That's all you have to do, because sometimes the mechanics don't know what's wrong. Sometimes the doctors don't know what's wrong. But I know a Creator. I know a manufacturer that anytime that we go to him, he knows exactly what our problem is, because he's the one that has created us. Elohim, the Creator God. Now, when we look at this word Elohim, this is the first name given for God. We look at all the other names that we had, all the Yahweh names, all the other El names that we've studied, but Elohim is the first name that was given to God in the Bible. And many of you watching this broadcast today, that you can quote the verse. You can quote the verse where it's at. You will say, oh, Pastor, there's not a lot of Bible verses that I know. There's not a lot of Bible verses that I can quote. I guarantee you that this is a Bible verse that you can quote. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I knew you knew it. I had faith. I had confidence in you. I knew you knew that verse. But have you ever thought about this? That the word that's used for God in Genesis 1:1 is the word Elohim. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. Elohim refers to the Almighty God as creator and sustainer of all things. Wow, man, just think about that. He is the creator and the sustainer of all things. Again, Genesis 1:1 lets us know that he's the creator. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So we see him as the creator. But the Bible also lets us know that he didn't create. You know, there's this ideology called deism. And deism basically says that God created things, put things in motion, and then he stepped away from it. So that now things are just moving at a pace of the universe, however it develops, whatever direction it wants to go. Man, as he comes and goes, that God has just let things move on its own. No, no, no. God is not only the creator, but God has not stepped away from his creation. That God is intimately involved with his creation. And God is both creator and sustainer. Listen to Acts 17 and verse 28. For in him we live and move and have our being. That without God, if God was to take his hand off of our life, where would we be? If God was just to back away from us, where would we be? But Paul said, it is in him that we live and we move and we have our being. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3 says, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact expression of his nature. Listen to this. Sustaining all things by his powerful word. Sustaining all things. That God sustains all things. So not only is he the creator, but he's a sustainer. Have you ever thought about this? That the world that we live in travels at a rapid rate of speed. You know, when I was in school, you know, we had to memorize all that, right? I think it's I know light travels at 186,000 miles per second. But this world that we live in, I mean, it's moving at a rate that we can't even begin to fathom. And when you think about the fact that not only is it moving, but it's also spinning at a rate that we can't understand. And if you think about maybe if you had like a spinning top, and then you put some figures on that top, and then you just began to spin the top, what would happen to those figures? They would fly in every direction, right? Because there's nothing to hold them in. Woo! There's nothing to hold them in place. And think about this world. Why is it that we just don't fly off of this world? Because the Creator, in his wisdom, not only created, but he sustains it by implementing a thing that we call gravity. And so gravity keeps us from flying in every which direction. God is the creator, and he's the sustainer. And that's why he has the name Elohim, the Almighty Creator. And I had this thought. And the thought that I had was this. He who created the universe could never receive tenure in a university. He
who created the universe. So this just goes to show you where man is at, right? You know, the university has all these things that has to be in place before a professor can receive tenure, right? He who created the universe could never receive tenure in a university. Well, why do you say that, Pastor Glaze? First of all, he was rejected by the professors that he created. The professors that he created, right? And now they're teaching in the university, they would reject his tenure. Second thing, there was no one there to observe his creation. Most scientists have people that can observe the creation that they come up with. And so God would not receive tenure because he created something that nobody was there to see. God, here goes one right here. Now, I'm not saying this is the truth, right? But this is what some people think, that he created a world but hasn't done anything for over 6,000 years. When one experiment, here goes another reason. When one experiment went awry, he tried to cover it up by drowning his subjects. We know what that is, right? The flood. That when things went wrong, there was a flood. And they said that he tried to cover it up, that his experiment went wrong, and he tried to cover it up by drowning his subjects. And then I like this one right here. Not that it's true, but I just like it. Although there were only 10 requirements, most students failed his test. And what were those 10 requirements? 10 commandments, right? He only had 10 items on the exam. And most of the students, and I think we can be pretty safe in saying that all the students failed the exam. And so we're looking at and we're talking about Elohim this morning, the Creator God. The word Elohim, actually, we've been talking about El Shaddai, El Elyon, El Olam, El Roy. We've been talking about all those El names, right? And we know that word El means mighty, powerful. Well, the word Elohim is actually the plural of El. It's actually the plural of El. And somebody would say, well, why did they put that im on there, Elohim? And there's a couple reasons. Because back in the ancient day, there were many gods that identified themselves as El. Right? And I'll give you one that you can think of right away. Baal, right? Baal. What is in that word? The word El. And so there were many gods that used the word El. People believe that God put this in here, Elohim, to distinguish the fact that he was set apart from all other gods. And so that's why he used the word Im. But the other reason that he put this word or this ending on the word El, watch this now, don't miss this, because it referred not only to the majesty of God, that he is separate and above all other gods, but it also refers to the plurality of God. Means that in God, the Godhead, that there is plurality. And the plurality is not the plurality of God, but it's the plurality of person. To show that there has always been an eternal relationship between the Father, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And so this word Elohim brings that out. It brings out this plurality of personhood. The richness of the Trinity is brought out in the word Elohim. Now, think about this, that Jesus had been with God for all eternity. From eternity, we studied that word El Olam, which means from everlasting to everlasting, right? And so from the very beginning, which there was no beginning, because God always was, don't try to figure that out, or you'll go crazy, right? I just accepted the fact that God has always been here. And the fact that the Father was always here, that meant the Son was always here, and that meant that the Holy Spirit was always here. And so the word Elohim refers to the plurality of the Godhead. Now let me share something with you. That when Jesus was dying on the cross and darkness covered the face of the earth, and for maybe the first time, now we know when Jesus left heaven, he was separated from the Father, but they still had that intimate communion. But at this time, when Jesus took on the sin of the world and the Father turned his back on the Son, well, I'm getting ready to teach something now. Don't miss this. I'm getting ready to teach something. What did Jesus cry out? Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. The first two things, what did he say? El. He was crying out to the one that he had been eternally in fellowship with, and that they had been separated at this time in a way that they had never been separated before. And Jesus cries out, El, El. My God, the Almighty, the All-Powerful One, El, El, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And so when Jesus cried out on the cross, he was not crying out to Yahweh Sabaoth. He was not crying out to Yahweh Jireh, Yahweh Rapha. He was crying out to El, to the Almighty Creator, the one that he had existed with throughout all eternity. And that is a powerful concept, because we see this word Elohim is used to describe the Trinity. Notice the three persons. When we talk about the Trinity, we say that God is one God, but three persons. Notice the three persons. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Who was he talking to? Was God schizophrenic? Right? Was he talking to people that wasn't there? No. He said, let us make man.
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Elohim, God the Creator. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Elohim, God the Creator, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Elohim, God the Creator. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Elohim, God the Creator. Or you can call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view or download the more than 400 teachings that are posted there. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It is through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. The title of our program, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews 6:19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and anchor for the soul. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, and on behalf of our volunteer staff, I'd like to remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.